The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
All right, welcome back. God dang, that hour flew by.
Sure did.
Woof, woof, and a meow. Carmichael Dave, Jason Ross, Christopher Lott behind the glass all the way till 10 a.m. And Stiles and Watkins to take the torch and try to make sense of all this. Quick etiquette question. Etiquette question for you guys. So I've told this. You guys know this. Our GM, his office downstairs, he has a gumball machine that's filled with peanut M&Ms. Almost every day I go downstairs, I'm hungry, I take a couple handfuls of peanut M&Ms, you know, I eat them. I'm big on, you know, self-accountability. So about, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, I was at Sam's Club, speaking of, bought one of them big industrial things of peanut M&Ms and gave it to him and said, hey, this is for all the M&Ms. I've eaten that many M&Ms out of the machine. And I don't know if that's a station expense. He buys them himself. Probably not. Somebody else does. Whatever. I feel, you know. So anyways, a few months have passed by. I eat all, you know, I keep eating M&Ms. So when every time I go to Sam's Club, every other time, I try to grab a refill for it, store them there. Well, I got them on Saturday and then, or on Friday. And then Saturday night, we're playing spades at my house with some friends. And I was like, oh, God, I have a sweet tooth. There's nothing. Here's these peanut M&Ms. All right, I'll have a couple, right? Well, I have them in my car right now. In fact, I'll bring them up at the next break. I would say they're 2/3 full. Mm. Like, it's still 2/3 full.
So it doesn't look like Kyle went through them.
No, oh, no. The whatever you want to call it, the bucket is 2/3 full of peanut M&Ms. Here's my etiquette question. We'll move on. Is it still okay to give them to him and just say, I got hungry and I already grabbed a couple. I grabbed an advance copy, but here's a significant amount of M&Ms to refill. Or
you missed the boat.
I did. Mm-hmm. My hand's already been in there.
Yeah, I'm going the complete opposite. I don't think he'll notice.
Oh, he'll notice.
Really? I mean,
let me see him.
Yeah, I'll bring him in. You guys make the call. Yeah.
Flip it. Chris and I have been eating your M&Ms or whatever, same idea, and then we bring you a 2/3.
I would make fun of the 2/3 right. thing, but I would also appreciate that.
Would you eat them?
Probably. Would I personally eat them?
No. So there's your answer.
I would not eat them. But I'm the only people that he doesn't eat them. The only people that eat them are me and other coworkers, and I don't care if they're eat they're not going to know where my boogery hands have been.
Have you ever had the peanut M&Ms, Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His office? No.
Yeah.
No? Uh-huh. It's you know where it is, right? It's right there by the stereo.
Yeah.
You've never gone in and just no. Hey, how are you doing?
No.
Oh, come on, guys. Let's do that after the show, all of us. Let's just all take a walk down there. I'll present the peanut M&Ms. We'll all get some peanut M&Ms and say hello.
That doesn't sound fun.
That does not sound appealing to you?
Okay. I've been in that office enough.
I once had a very interesting conversation in that very office.
Just once?
With you.
Well, I had two. Yeah, I had that. No, there's that one.
Yeah.
But then there's the one in 2012 I had.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the one I had with you.
Yeah.
That was... Oof. Hey, Gary at 1-800-920-1140. Welcome in. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing as good as we can after getting blown out last night. How are you?
All right. Right. I'm thinking the same thing, man. Just wanted to talk about on a couple of things. I believe, like, when Mike Brown first came in, I remember calling the timeouts real quick if we went down about a couple points. And last night it was a 4-point game. Before we got blown out, and I believe the changes should have been made way earlier than they were. You know,
you think he
what changes by the way?
Like the bench guys. I believe you know we always bring up Malik Monk. We always bring Mitchell, but with the Dallas Mavericks, we're having trouble on the glass. You know, we can't expect Domas to do everything. He can't dribble the ball. He can't pass the ball, rebound it too. How about bringing in a guy like JaVale McGee, you know, bringing in fresh energy? He's just sitting there icing his knees. Why not bring him in at the 6-minute mark or even ahead? We made some changes at the 2-minute mark in the third quarter. That's way too late. We've already gotten blown out.
So Gary, I've thought about the same thing. You're not. There's no way you're wrong. Let me just talk it through with you. Let's go back to the timeouts. So I thought about that a lot. We've talked about that on the show. Like, he's done it a few times, but last year it was like, you know, you give up 2 points and he didn't like the defensive scheme, timeout. And I do wonder, and I'm giving Mike credit here. We're talking about the coach of the year. I'm giving him credit here, but I wonder if last year was like, this is my first year with the team. I don't know you guys. You're going to have a very, very short leash. Now I'm trying to build you into a contender, and I'm going to develop a little bit more of a Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr type narrative where there's times where I want you to figure it out on your own, and I'm not going to bail you out with the timeout. It might hurt us in the interim, but hopefully in the long run, it helps you down the road. Gary, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying that's a possible explanation. Let me go on to your next thing. Let's say he does make those. You said down three, down five. Let's say he does bring in JaVale, Davion, you know, Slauson, whatever. Let's say he makes those changes you make, right? But here's the thing. They're on the bench because they're not as good as the starters. That being said, maybe they bring something different, a different look. I know where you're going. What if he does that? And then we're in here today talking about a 34-point loss. Is there no part of you, or not you, but maybe another fan that might be calling in saying, dude, we're only down five, and this guy puts in freaking JaVale McGee and Jalen Slauson, dude. Like, what are you doing? You got to ride with your guys. So you're kind of screwed either way, right?
Yeah.
I
agree with you to an extent, but I just think, you know, just like, because Malik's an energy guy, you know, we need like maybe a big who's like, Alex Len does a pretty good job. I'm just saying, you know, on maybe back-to-back nights, we could play JaVale, you know, that might help us a little bit. I know Slauson's a rookie, but I just think we needed a little bit more energy off the bench last night.
Gary, I don't disagree with you on that. We need a lot more energy
everywhere,
regardless. Good call. Thank you. 1-800-920-1140. You can also text us at 916-339-1140. Coach Cal apparently will be staying at Kentucky. So
not surprised.
You're not surprised. No, I heard rumblings from Kentucky people that they might be buying him out, but it sounds like that ain't the case. So your random stat, you got it.
One for me.
Absolutely. Random. Secondly, Jimmer Fredette, we had him on the show talking about it. Yeah. He will now head up with two other people that you don't know, the 3-on-3 tournament, America's team. So hopefully we'll be talking about gold medal winning.
That would be really cool. I'm rooting for that for him and for USA.
I want nothing but amazing things for him and Whitney and that whole family. So we'll all be real behind. I will watch that. I will watch that intently and root my tushy off for Jimmer and the folks. Tyronn Lue yesterday, by the way. You know, Clippers have been
They're scuffling.
They were in first place in the West in early February, and they are now struggling to try to even get home court advantage. They're in fourth place, or they were in fourth place. New Orleans caught them. James Harden said, "We got to find our identity. It's a little frustrating. We're trying to figure out what the hell is going on." Tyronn Lue said, "The identity for us has got to be toughness, which means physicality, mental and physical toughness, and a high-powered offense. Right now, do we have an identity? Yeah. We're soft."
Mm.
Hey, look, again, different coaches, different teams, different rosters, different personnels, but you know, we were talking about Rick Carlisle and what he said to the Pacers a couple weeks ago when he called them out. I'm not going to lie. There's, again, Mike Brown's got his own style. He knows what he's doing, but I'm not going to lie. There's a couple of games this year where I would love to have heard that out of our coach's mouth, but again, Tyronn Lue's dealing with a different team, different vets. Interesting, though, sometimes that works. Sometimes that backfires on you.
Right, exactly. I mean, that can lose the locker room. That can galvanize the locker room.
That's right.
It just depends. Hopefully coaches know their teams and know what they need.
No offense to Ty. I hope he loses the locker room just because I want
he
to
lose.
Tyronn loses the locker room. The NFL owners yesterday approved a massive revamp of the kickoff play. They're going after the XFL style pretty much, 29-3. The Raiders and Niners, by the way, two of the three teams have voted against it. New Orleans Saints special teams coordinator Darren Ritz, he said, "Hey, we feel this is a great day for the NFL. We've taken a play that's essentially been dying, and we revived it. Now, what is this? The new alignment rules represent the most significant on-field rule change for the NFL in years, and they're trying to reverse more than a decade of declining return rates, but also lowering concussion rates. The format will move the majority of the kicking and return teams downfield to minimize high-speed collisions. It will go into effect for just 1 year, and then they will revote. During this next season, kickers will continue to kick from the 35-yard line. But the other 10 players on the kickoff team will line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. So think about this. Kicker at his own 35. Kicker's line, basically, is going to be across the 50, lined up at the 40. So it'll look a little funky. At least 9 members of the return team will line up in what they're calling a setup zone between the 35 and 30-yard line. So you'll have the kicking line at the 40, and then you'll have the receiving line, if you will, the defensive line, whatever you want to call it, at the 35 or 30. So either 5 or 10 yards apart. Again, it's going to look weird. Up to 2 returners can line up in a landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line. Excuse me. Sorry. Wow. I'm getting choked up about this.
Gross.
Thank you. Anyways, no one other than the kicker and returner can move until the ball hits the ground or hits a player in the landing zone. Now, generally, they're going to start moving when the player catches the ball, I would think. And generally, the player is going to catch the ball in the end zone. But the thing is that when he catches the ball in the end zone, from what I understand it, once he catches the ball, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, the way I'm thinking about this, I'm receiving. Mm-hmm. I catch the ball 3 yards in the end zone. The closest tacklers to me are on my 40-yard line.
Correct.
Halfway between me and a fair catch 20-yard line. And now I have to make the decision. It's a race to the 20 to at least break even, or is it worth me moving on? In the event a team wants to attempt an onside kick, it will have to inform officials of its intent. And then the NFL's traditional formation would be used. No more surprise onside kick, Sean Payton.
I don't like that.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call. But I understand with this new format, you kind of have to do that. But But I don't like that.
Yeah.
Not
in love with the rule. But I, in fairness, I want to see it. I got to see it. There was one that I remember going, what are we doing? And I would admit I was wrong when they moved the extra point back. I'm like, dumb. This isn't going to matter. They miss extra points. It has been a factor. It has been more interesting, let's say. It's not automatic. So that's been a rule that I think has been effective. I don't personally feel like I'm missing out on less returns personally.
Here's my question. It's just kind of a scientific question. I'm not that smart when it comes to this. When you watch the draft combine and you watch the 40 times, they come off from the blocks. Would you say that they're at full speed somewhere? Would it be fair to say somewhere around the 15th yard of that 40-yard dash?
Probably.
So if the returner's in the end zone and the team trying to tackle the returner is lining up at the returner's 40, even if the returner is at the goal line and it's a race to the 20, that's the halfway point. Let's say the returner is probably faster. Isn't it safe to say that most of these people are going to be at full speed by the time they make contact anyways?
I think the returners are. I think what's not is the other 20.
But that's my question, though. If you're lined up at the 40 and you're meeting this returner at the 20 or 25, that's 15 to 20 yards you've had to get to full speed.
But I don't know that you're going to get down there. Yeah, you've got the block. Like, it's not going to be me sprinting because here's Dave returning. I'm sprinting. Chris is going to be in my way. And before I get to full speed, he's already blocking me or getting me off my stride, pushing me one way or the other. But at some point, the guy going full speed with the ball is going to be hit by somebody.
That's what I'm saying. And I guess I'm not giving enough credit to the blockers where there's always going to be one or two guys that squirts through full speed. Maybe not. It'll be very interesting to see if this...
Yeah, it could be a one and done, could be something that's really good for football. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
We'll take a very quick 1 minute break. When we come back, Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings. We'll look at some more Kings patterns here. Do you buy that the schedule factored into last night? And Willodies, do they enter the conversation here? We'll do that next.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Katie will join us at 9. We'll go around the NBA next, look at the standings. And at 7:43, guys. At 7:43, I purposely left that blank. Kind of want to see where the show goes. I've got a backup topic just in case. I think we'll do better. My backup topic is completely off the rails. The greatest name in music you don't know. That's not sports, though. So we'll see if we can't find a better topic for 7:43, which, Jason, the numbers say that's prime time.
It is prime
time. So a lot of people are listening. Yeah. I don't want to talk music in prime time. This is going to turn people off. You know, we know you love your music, but if you want sports... in the meantime, though, as we do every day at 7:13, brought to you by Fire Wings, or 7:18, it's Three for Madness. Christopher Laud, question Oon.
The Kings have now won 2 in a row, followed by a loss 4 consecutive times. Will there be a 5th?
Okay, so this is a little interesting quirk that's going on right now. You may have heard about it. But going all the way back, to the Lakers March 6th. We talked about this yesterday. They beat LA, they beat San Antonio, they lost to Houston. They beat Milwaukee, they beat the Lakers again, they lost to New York. They beat Memphis in OT, beat Toronto on the road, lost to Washington. Then they beat Orlando on the road, beat Philly, lost to Dallas. Now, their next three games, Jason, are all at home before they go on their final road trip of the year. Well, regular season. They've got Dallas on Friday, Utah on Sunday, Clippers on Tuesday. The question is, will there be a 5th win-win-loss? I'm going to say there will be.
Yeah, there's a real good possibility.
I think it actually fits really well, and I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
Especially because the most important one would be Friday.
That's 100%
getting the win against Dallas. I mean, the swing right there is so clear. You're either down 2 with 9 games to go.
What happens to the tiebreaker, by the way?
It goes to the second level, which is conference, and right now the Kings have it by a half game, but... obviously, Dallas would then go ahead of that with the win on Friday.
That's right.
So, let's just basically call that 3 almost with 9
to go.
So, I feel like nothing's guaranteed, but there's a real good chance they're a play-in team if they lose on Friday.
We make it a bit, but in reality, it's not even close. Friday's the biggest game of the year.
Yes.
Not even close.
To date, for sure.
Friday is, in effect, an early play. I mean, we said this about last night, too, but Friday's a playoff game.
Right. Now, you win, you're tied, you have 9 to go, you have the tiebreaker, so you're equivalent to 1 ahead.
Right.
I would say the Kings have a more difficult schedule than Dallas, but Dallas has some tough games. They have 2 with the Warriors, 2 with the Rockets. But other than that, it's I would say, easier than the Kings. But that's the game, Friday.
2 with the Warriors, 2 with the Rockets, who are... in a dogfight right now for the final play-in spot. The Kings, by the way, after last night, they're still at number 3 behind Phoenix and Charlotte. Third toughest schedule remaining. Scroll. The 23rd most difficult schedule remaining. The Dallas Mavericks, as you said, OKC, the Kings, the Heat, 2 against the Warriors, 2 against the Rockets. They still have a Pistons, Hornets, and Hawks. Let me tell you something. This is misleading. I'm going to call out these numbers here because the site that we look at for remaining schedule, they go on winning percentage. You take all the teams remaining, add up their wins and losses. This is misleading. Dallas's schedule is actually a lot harder. I'll tell you why. Because they still have the Hornets and the Pistons, who are terrible, that's artificially bringing down that winning percentage. Mm-hmm. A loss is a loss. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Pistons or you're playing the Jazz. A loss is a loss. And so here, they actually, with all their games left, they've got 4, 5, 6. They have 7 of their remaining 10 games against either playoff teams or, in the Rockets' case, one of the hottest teams in the NBA.
Twice.
Yeah. Thank you. They have three games against bad teams. As a matter of fact, Jason, with Sacramento playing Portland, the Nets, and the Jazz remaining, and then one each, Boston, OKC, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Knicks, and the Mavs, I would actually argue that Dallas's schedule is every bit as tough remaining. I think this is a numbers error we need to call out. They have a tough – they're. I think it's neck and neck on that schedule.
Okay.
Thing. Number two, please.
Question two.
Do you buy the schedule being a factor last night?
Do I buy the schedule being a factor last night? A factor. Yes. Yes, I do. I buy that the schedule – very well could have been a factor. 5-7, international trip. I mean, come on, it's Canada, but it's only went to France. But still, you got to go. And people need to understand, when we say international trip, I understand that Toronto, I think Toronto is actually a shorter flight than New York, if I remember correctly. It's actually closer to us. But you also have the, they still have to go through the whole customs thing. A lot of times there's a long delay getting in, a longer delay getting out. They had a back-to-back in D.C., which they lost. Like, people underestimate that, and I think it's easy to do that because it's like, well, they're on these private planes, and they stay in five-star hotels, and they get, like, $300 a day in per diem, and they're eating five-star food. All of that's correct, and nobody's like, oh, poor NBA guys. But it's also your body and its time zones, and it's your circadian rhythm, and it's your – you're doing these massive athletic performances and these bodies are Ferraris that are tuned very specifically. And when you're bouncing around like that and your sleep is thrown off and your schedule is thrown off, guess what? It does. I'm sorry. It factors. I don't think it's the entire reason, but I think it's okay to say one of the things that led to them getting absolutely destroyed last night is 5 games in 7 nights.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. A factor. Spirit of the question. Yes. Factor. Yeah. I would say yes. Similar to an actual stat in the game, if they had 25 turnovers, factor, not the reason. But a reason, a factor. Yes, I would say so. And I do think it parallels the people, like, I know you said you would give grief to Katie saying, you know, she's going to come out and say 5 games in 7 nights. If she's tired, if Draper's tired, Mark Jones, G-Man, the people that are, it's a lot. I know they're not playing, but they're living the same schedule. And I got the sense that they were all like, man, it's just been a lot of games. Then it's been a lot of games, but that's the way it's set up. The Kings have been benefactors on that. Maybe on other teams, like, wow, this team's played a ton of games lately. Sacramento kind of went in there and took care of business. It was a perfect schedule game. Now, Dallas still gives all the credit, still demolished the Kings. That may be the biggest factor was actually Dallas, but a factor, yeah, I would say it is.
I think you're absolutely right. And by the way, I'm pulling Katie's chain. I've used it as an excuse 5 times today. Question number three, please.
Question three.
We talk about Willotes when they lose to bad teams. Was this the worst loss of the year to a good team?
I would call it the Wablody Tag Team is what we would actually lay on this one, which is not an acronym we use often, but it's a Wablody Tag Team. Want to take a guess?
No idea. Worst bad loss.
I think it's the worst blowout loss to a good team. So, for example, was last night's loss worse than the blown 20-something point lead in Phoenix?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Not in the way I would say the way I felt after the
different
game.
Different kind of loss.
Yeah.
But this is, there's the loss where, like, you choked it away. Oh, my God, this feels terrible. And to me, those are worse.
Yeah.
Blowouts suck, but again, it's a loss whether you lose by 5. I would far rather just get my socks blown off and lose by 50 than have a Phoenix type game where you just blow a giant lead.
I would too. Why this would move up for me would be the importance of the game. Now Friday becomes absolutely critical.
Yes,
and it can't go down the path of other, what do we call them?
Wablodies.
Tag team
to a good team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Early in the season, here's the parallel path this has got to avoid.
Yeah.
The only other time the Kings have played two teams in a row like this, Houston. Remember early
That's
in the
right.
season, the first time they lost. Okay, well, that was weird.
That was weird.
But wait till tonight.
Yeah.
And then it was worse.
Yes.
New Orleans lost by 33. Okay. Wow. Wait till tonight.
Right.
Lost by 36.
Yep.
So that one to me was also very similar to this.
I will tell you this.
So Friday to me, it's about the response on Friday.
You mentioned the New Orleans game, January 7th, 133-100. Wasn't that the one to go to the to Vegas?
Is that at home?
That was at home.
No, okay. What about the two in New Orleans?
The two in New Orleans were, that was earlier. That was,
right, that's the only
yeah, time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 129-93 and then 117-112. The home one
okay,
was.
Okay, so they lost by five the second time. The first time they lost by 36.
Yeah, yeah.
The Boston home loss is also one of those to a good team.
That's where the only other one I would put up against last night. And I agree with you. The circumstances are far more intense. But 133-100 with a trip to Vegas on the line. Yeah. You're on national TV and you'd already been beaten by these guys twice, including a blowout. That's the other, because like Boston's Boston, right? Yeah. Like whatever.
And was that the one the night before? Did they play the Clippers?
The night before that, they won 135-130 to Toronto, and then the following night they actually beat Detroit 131-1. Excuse me, the following Tuesday, they beat Detroit in Detroit. Okay. That was the one.
But was the mm-hmm. Pelicans loss a back to back?
Pelicans lost. No, Friday to Sunday.
Okay, yep,
you're right. I'm trying to think of which one you're looking. No, but the first Pelicans loss was a back-to-back. They played at Dallas and won to go to 8-4, and then they played New Orleans the next night, and that's when they lost 129-93.
How about after New Orleans at home? Was it the Clippers the next night?
After New Orleans at home, well, after
for the tournament.
The tournament, no, after the tournament won, that's when they went to Detroit.
Oh, okay, never mind.
So they've played, have they played New Orleans four times this year?
Yeah, already. They got a fifth coming up.
I know we got a break here. You're never wrong about this stuff.
Now, there was something with,
where is the
I felt, oh, no, no, no. You know, the game I'm thinking of is they had the emotional win against the against the Warriors, 23-point comeback.
Yes.
In season tournament, I think the next night they hosted the Clippers and they were off.
That's right.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking of.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. When we come back, let's go around the NBA and the standings. They are tightening like my belt loops. We will talk about that next.
The only place in the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
A weird thing.
You're weird.
You're weird.
So says the chat box.
I never know how to say that name.
Okay, weirdo, party of one.
Is it Campeo? Hey, Chris, come on. You know you know the language a little better than I do.
I think it's Portuguese.
It is Portuguese?
I think so.
Campeo? Campeo? C-A-M-P-A-E-O with the thingy. The thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Campeo. Put a phonetic pronunciation. One of our longtime loyal listeners, he says I'm weird because look, obviously I'm big on analogies here or metaphors or whatever you want to call it, but they're in a cycling conversation because Chris has a tricycle or something, Chris Guerrero, and I don't know, there's some cycling going on or whatever, and I said, look, no offense, but honestly, I'd rather watch my parents make out than watch like the Tour de France or something. Like I don't, but the one exception is whatever the cycling is in the Olympics where they go around the oval.
Yeah.
The velodrome. Sure. That's fun. Okay. But part of it, it's like why I watch, I don't like auto racing, but the crashes are interesting. But then I feel bad for liking the crash. I don't like the crashes because I worry about people. But like that's the most entertaining thing about racing to me. So I choose to not watch a sport where the most entertaining thing to me could kill people. Like, I just don't feel great about that.
Right.
Cycling.
You watch fighting sports.
Yeah, that's different.
Come on, Chris. It's
come on,
different.
Come on, Chris. But the cycling, like, oh my God. When like sorry. But when there's like, you know, when they all take off and there's like 200 of them and like one of them goes and then like 30 others and it's this giant pile of human and spokes and little baseball cards and the thing and whatever.
That's what happened.
Like, those always crack me up. And again, I don't feel comfortable laughing about that.
How do the papers get delivered?
How does that happen? I had to do that crap once upon a time on my little Univega.
Yeah.
That's a crap job.
I had it on a 10 speed.
I've got a show for you.
Oh, yeah?
It's a mockumentary on HBO called The Tour de Pharmacy, and it's by Andy Samberg, and it's about, like, 80s Tour de France where basically everybody was on steroids.
That's a real thing?
Yeah,
that's...
it's probably about 48 minutes, but it's hilarious.
That was years ago, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get 48 minutes, I give that a whirl. That's, look, to each their own. And, like, I know there's a lot of cycling enthusiasts out there. I'm not trying to make fun of you or mock you in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying personal entertainment.
Yeah.
I can't, like, oh, he's got the yellow jacket, jersey thing. What is it? The Vest. Tour de France guy. The yellow. Yeah, it's a yellow jersey, right? Like, really?
They're the leader.
Yeah, like, I admire the, like, it's super athletic, and I admire the athleticness of it, athleticism, but, you know, the cycling.
It's just not for you.
It's just the cycling is,
yeah.
Oh, here's Luis Giuseppe, took the lead, and let's go over to this guy who's, well, he's riding a bike on a road, and here's his times, and here's another guy who's riding a bike on a road.
Okay.
But, you know what? To each their own, and they got really strong legs.
Yes, they do.
God bless them.
Fit.
Going around the NBA. Yeah, the Lakers. They they did not have LeBron James. And they won in Milwaukee in overtime. And
are they the team to beat in the West?
The Lakers? Oh, excuse me, double overtime.
Yeah, because they beat a good team, so I'm sure that's today's question on the national shows.
Laker fans are in their feelings right now because this week's NBA narrative, we're back to the whole free throw disparity. And Laker fan, their responses basically vary from cry harder, which means, oh yeah, it's rigged. So what? Screw you. Cry harder. Whatever. Deal with it. Which at least I appreciate them being honest about it. Like, we don't care that it's rigged. It's our team. Or, well, you're saying that there's this free throw disparity of, like, literally 700 free throws, but you're not pointing out where are the bad calls just because there's a free throw disparity. Where are the bad calls? That doesn't mean they're bad calls. Maybe that just means that we get fouled more. Really?
Yeah.
What does the kid say? Not come on, Susan, but Linda. Well, whatever he
Linda.
Says. Yeah.
Linda.
Linda.
Come Listen.
On.
Look,
yeah, there it is. Listen, Linda. Listen, Laker Linda. That you're delusional.
Laker Linda.
I want to point out too in that game, you have to give credit where credit is due. I feel like I always feel guilty if we have a lot of fun with a narrative and then something happens that goes against that narrative and we don't acknowledge it. I feel like it's unethical for some weird reason. Like Anthony Davis played 52 minutes last night.
He did.
He played 52 minutes last night. This is Mr. Mr. Glass, Mr. Here's Anthony Davis in a wheelchair, street clothes, you know, all that stuff. He played 52 minutes, dude. The LA Lakers have played 72 games this year. Anthony Davis has played 68. That's
okay.
Look, I mean, it's just 1 year, but I feel like you have to acknowledge that. Like,
so put him in all NBA ahead of Domantas Sabonis.
Well, the funny thing is that both LeBron, who didn't play last night, but both LeBron and Anthony Davis have been relatively healthy this year, and the Lakers are 40-32,
right,
and fighting to stay in the, to get out of the play-in. 34 points and 23 rebounds to go with four blocks for Anthony Davis, 16 and 14 for Hachimura, 29 each for D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves. That 29 matched Giannis Antetokounmpo. Damian Lillard had 27 on 9 of 29 shooting. Let it fly, big man. Little man.
Little man, little man. Yeah, that's right.
Sorry. Just a quick check, because I feel like, yeah, that's what I thought. I feel like I've seen a couple of these. Damian Lillard is shooting 42% from the field.
Well, they got him for his big shot making that he can make, hopefully, for them in the playoffs.
Voof. Around the NBA, some mores. The Warriors 113, the Heat 92. So that gives them an easy cushion on the idle Houston Rockets.
They did what they're supposed to, though, in that sense. So Miami had a bunch of guys out. Jimmy Butler was sick. There was three or four other guys out. And credit to the Warriors for winning that game. They're on this big, long road trip.
Wait a minute. Oh, you wait. Yeah, I heard what Jason said. You can beat the Heat when they're missing injured players?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm confused by that, but Jason said it. Okay. Okay, love you too. Bye. No, you say bye.
Is that Adam?
Adam Silver?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know you could beat the Heat when they had players out.
You can.
Yeah. Apparently the Warriors took care of business in Miami.
Right.
Thunder 119, Pelicans 112.
Thunder Pelicans.
The Thunder Pelicans. Somebody actually sent me a instant message. They made a graphic of a Thunder Pelican. I'll show you that during the break. Hey, now. I'll show you the Thunder Pelican during the break, Jason. 119-112, which had the Kings won last night. You know, that would then make things a little bit interesting because...
Well, they'd have been one back of the Pelicans?
They'd have been one back from the Pelicans. And they would have been 1.5 back of the L.A. Clippers for the fourth seed. And that's all we'd be talking about today. Yeah. All we'd be talking about is let's get greedy. Three for Madness questions. Can we get greedy for the fourth seed? Blah, blah, blah. That's not the way it went. When we come back, we'll get into some other stuff, including the Jiffy Lube drive of the game. We've got that for you. We have some post-game audio as well next.
Sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sactown Sports.
All right, welcome back. Katie at 9. A lot more Kings to come, including in this segment. Here's some more TNT stuff, a little postgame. Just to follow up on an earlier segment, and I won't spend too much time on this, just to recap in case you just tuned in. And this is especially for our YouTube guys, so sorry, everyone else, but you'll get the gist. Our GM has a gumball machine filled with peanut M&Ms. I eat a lot of them. So about twice a year, I bring a big Sam's Club thing of peanut M&Ms to refill. I got them on Friday. Saturday, I got the munchies, and I ate some of them. And then yesterday, I ate some more while I was stress watching the game. So my question for Jason and Chris and everyone else is, I've eaten some of them. Do I still give them to him to refill his gumball machine for the public M&Ms, or do I just keep these, take the L or the M, and then go get another one? So the boys asked to see the M&Ms. So
here's the reveal.
I'd say it's a little over 2/3.
Yeah. It's an awkward, it's almost like that could be how they're packed, but you'd also go, wow, they kind of shortchanged.
Yeah, you could be, shrinkflation, am I
right? Yeah, shrinkflation. That's the thing. That's exactly what I was thinking, Chris. Like, you're right, Jason.
If you ate about like 10 more, I'd be like, yeah, there's something up.
If I saw this at the store, it might dissuade me. It's enough gone.
I'd reach for another 100%. One that looked like it had more.
And I think, let's just say for S's and giggles, if they were all like this, it might dissuade me from buying them. Because I'd be like, dude, I can see through the top here. There's
yeah,
this
you
whole
know what?
Space.
It's too much.
So you think go get another one?
Well, also, if you
spin. Or you cover it up and just put it in yourself. Just like, oh, let me take care of this.
And just just go over there and just walk in kind of with the hey, got some M&Ms real quick, and then just kind of like casually put them on my right side, open up the gumball machine, and then pour them in, and then when I give them to him.
Even if you've already opened it up and you've turned it, like it's going to look like it's full. You could also buy more M&Ms and put it in the top.
Ooh. Just go buy a couple of packs of peanut M&Ms.
Maybe one is all it would take.
And then what else I could do is I cover it up with the, and now it's like, now it's factory sealed. That doesn't look weird, right?
Not at all.
Okay. Also?
Also, you're going to eat some.
I'm 100% going to eat some. Look, they smell so good.
Yeah.
Would you like some?
No, thank you.
Okay. Chris, later? Maybe a little later?
I'm good.
Okay. Wow. All right. Kings last night lost We've got stuff we'll play for you later, but we've been focusing a little bit. The one clip we did play with Shaq breaking down DeMontis Sabonis. I think it's always interesting to see what the National folks have to say. Here's Jamal Crawford on De'Aaron Fox.
From three, Tim De'Aaron Duncan, Fox, big man two of three from Beyond the Arc.
He's in the Alliance, so.
Has that clutch gene. He makes the injury.
He's what?
You watch right here, he's on the second side. He's going to be able to get down here.
When
you play with a guy like Malik Monk, you're able to hide behind the defense. His patience when he gets there. The floater, same foot, same hand. And then right here, if you watch the high ball screen, the switch he wants. No problem. I love his patience. And then right here, he gets the double pick and roll. Watch the patience again. He's dancing. He calls confusion, calls the switch. Here, you get it. Give it back so I can get down here.
Yeah, I got Derek Lively on.
Yeah, makes a play, gets to the basket.
Got him.
De'Aaron Fox is at, like we say, he's at peace with his game. He's also the engine on this team. But when you play with a guy like Sabonis who can make plays as well, it allows him to be more aggressive on the weak side. And that's what he's doing tonight.
It is a dynamic duo of De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis.
Okay. That obviously was halftime.
So they're a dynamic. And by the way, the halftime show, even though the Mavericks were up.
Yeah, by just five.
It was the Sacramento Kings halftime show. I mean, it was very heavy on Kings.
Yeah.
And I felt myself thinking, you know what, if I'm just being fair, if the Kings were playing in Dallas on TNT and we were up, and I saw that halftime show, and it was about Luka and Kyrie, I'd be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't ever get those. So that was kind of nice. 1-800-920-1140. It's time for your Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game. Yeah, it was a blowout. And, there was, in fact, a Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game. Be the first person to identify that. And you, that's right, you will get a $100 gift certificate from our dear friends at Jiffy Lube. And we've already got somebody.
Okay.
Look at this. Chris, good morning. You're on with Jason and Dave.
Good morning, Jason. Good morning, Dave.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Do you have the Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game for us?
Yes, the alley-oop dunk by Malik Monk, assisted by Devin Mitchell.
Wow. I mean, that is oddly specific.
Yeah.
Also rhymes.
Yes.
The alley-oop dunk from Malik Monk. But even though there's a little bit of an alliteration there, did he get it right, Jason?
I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. I'll play the clip right now.
Here's an alley-oop setup, and there's a throwdown for Sacramento's Malik Monk. Davion Mitchell put that ball at the rim. And in a second half where there's been little to be excited about for Kings fans, that is your Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game.
Hey, congratulations, Chris.
Woo!
All over it, baby. You got yourself a $100 gift certificate from our good friends at Jiffy Lube. Have fun with that. Actually literally spend it all in one place.
Yes.
And thank you for listening to us and listening to the G-Man.
Thank you very much.
All right, hold the line. Chris has you.
Light work for him.
Hey, you think last night was one of those nights where G-Man was like, oh, God, is there going to be a drive of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it by the end it felt like that, but it was 5 points at halftime.
Yeah, that's true.
And
now, this was in the third quarter, so
yeah,
that's fine.
But third quarter is when it started to get away.
Third quarter, big time. So you had Shaq there before. You had Jamal Crawford talking about De'Aaron Fox. Here is De'Aaron Fox post game, and I don't know if this is just that clip or the whole thing, but
it might be the whole thing.
It might be the whole thing.
I think Chris probably cut up separate stuff.
And we had, and it was edited for a couple of choice.
I don't know if
it says edited for curses. Okay. Says it.
Then it's the whole thing.
Then it's the whole thing. All right, here's De'Aaron Fox. Listen to the end.
What did you see that kind of led to Dallas mucking up the game?
Oh, I mean, I think they were more physical than us tonight. They got to loose balls, which allowed them to get out in transition. They got a lot of easy buckets, and then we just weren't able to get stops at the end of the day either. But we have to do better on the offensive end as well.
Did you notice anything in the first half that kind of prepared you for what might be coming there in that third quarter?
Oh, not really. I mean, I think we played a pretty good first half. I think they just beat us on both ends of the court in the second half. Like I said, they were more physical. They got into the ball. They pressured us, and we weren't able to get into our offense, and that led them to get easy buckets. And then once good players see the ball go in the basket, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. And we didn't do a good job on the defensive end either.
Which is surprising again, because you guys have played so well defensively. Spray three wise though, why did they have such great open looks, do you think, tonight?
Oh, I mean, they were just able to get into the paint. They got downhill. Phil was pick and roll one on one. Collapse our defense, so we have to be better in keeping the ball in front. Obviously, you know, Luka, Kyrie, Tim, they're going to make tough shots at at some point. But obviously, we know, you know, Luka wants to get to a step back, and we weren't able to keep him away from that. And he hit a few, and now, you know, you're kind of overreacting, and now he's getting downhill and just making the game easier for everybody else.
The circumstances of the game, does that change how much more painful this win is, or can you, or sorry, losses, or can you flush it just like any other?
I mean, a little, but I mean, we play this team again, so hopefully, you know, if we're able to win that game, then, you know, we have the tiebreaker, we're back tied up again. But definitely in the West right now, especially when you're playing a team that, you know, you're right in the running with, obviously a win or loss here against them, and, you know, they get a win or a loss is a whole game difference. So we know this is an extremely important game, and that just makes Friday's game, you know, all the more important. So we can get the tiebreaker, win the series 3-1. We're back tied up, and we're in front of them. So we have to be prepared for the next game.
Darren, for quite a while now, you've come out and you know, addressed like some of your bigger and you know, maybe more difficult losses. Is this like something you're kind of making a point of doing for some reason in turn, you know, just leading this team and kind of showing that accountability? And
as far as talking to y'all?
Yeah, just, you know.
I don't get nothing out of that. They ask me, I do it.
But for the team, so it really doesn't mean anything in terms of
they don't give a I come up here and talk, I tell you that. But nah, I mean, if Michael asked me, if Michael or Shannon asked me, I do it.
Okay, well, they're
yeah,
good.
I get no joy in this after a win or a loss. My team doesn't care if I come up here in a blowout win or a blowout loss. So
sorry I brought it up.
Who was that?
It was Jason Anderson.
Oh, it was Jason?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize his voice. Hey.
But Fox was ready for that answer.
He was very – He had that one in the chamber.
He did.
Ready to go.
He was ready because of, you know, that stuff that was going on a little bit earlier in the year when Fox wasn't maybe asked about it and didn't come out. And remember, Keon Ellis was the one coming out. Well, Fox, for his part, it's come out a lot of times.
And I saw some
especially
people.
Especially when the Kings were very bad.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And I saw some people. I saw a couple of people. By the way, the vast majority of people were like, you go, dude. But I saw a couple of people, you know, your usual sorts. Yeah, he gets paid millions of dollars. He's kind of coming off bad there. I mean, he's out there answering the questions. It's not enjoyable after a loss. Yeah. I like that he's being, you know, we either complain about canned sound bites from players, and then when they show any sort of truth or personality that we maybe it doesn't hit right, he gets paid millions of dollars. It's his responsibility to answer questions. He literally has been answering questions.
Yeah. Common theme is we complain a lot.
Really do. And it's like, bro, was he supposed to be like, and again, I try to get people to apply it to their world. It's like if Billy in accounting screws up the math afterwards, hey, Bill, I noticed you didn't carry the 4 and the Johnsons had to pay an extra 15%. Your thoughts? Yeah, well, I just screwed up. Well, you know, also last week, and it's not a fun press conference. So what are you supposed to say? I enjoy getting questions from Jason Anderson about this thing. Like, yes, it's amazing. No, I totally would not rather hit the shower, get dressed, go see my wife and newborn and go home and play Call of Duty and get my mind off of this and get ready for it. No, I would rather sit here and have you guys ask me questions and then do my best not to say anything stupid because then it's going to become a 5-day story and I could step in a lava pit at any time. Like, of course these guys aren't going to. I get it. As long as you do it.
Yeah.
We all do stuff we don't like. As long as you're doing it, that's fine. Dallas dominated game one. Luka owned the first half. We've got that and more. We'll talk about it. We got some comments from Luka as well next.